Hi, and thank you for joining us today. We are recording at the Manatee branch of the local library here today, and we thank them for allowing us to do so. You're listening to the Radio Ear Network, and I'm your host, Katie O'Neill, the Pet Lady, on Suncoast Community Radio. Our guest today is Filippo Voltaggio, and we'll be right back to find out more. His interviews, books, speaking engagements, and workshops take a unique approach by focusing on the lighter side of improving one's life and self-esteem, as well as the connection with one's purpose, making the process at once fun, funny, transformational, profound, and powerful. Hi, and welcome to the show, Filippo.
Thank you for having me, Katie.
Tell us a little bit about who Filippo Voltaggio is.
Oh, well, I still haven't figured out all of who I am, and it's kind of a theme for 2017 in the sense that I've come to realize I've done a lot of things and I've enjoyed a lot of things, and people have been inspired by me as either a singer or a radio host or a video host or an author. Life coach, workshop leader, workshop creator. And so people say, is there anything you don't do? And at first I was a little flattered by that. And now I think, wait a minute, I think there's so much more I could do. I think we could raise our expectation of each other. And so that we say, what else can you do? What else do you do? And inspire us to do more, because we need that, I think, at this time in our civilization.
I think you're absolutely right. I think people do need to be more aware of what they actually can do instead of what they can't do. I think
right.
That a lot about myself. So you're on your path and your road to becoming a true Renaissance man.
Well, thank you. That's a great title. I hope to be able to fit in it well someday soon.
Well, now, I know that you're a writer and an author, and you've got more than one book out there going. Tell us a little bit about how long has writing been a part of your life?
You know, I remember that writing was always a part of my life. I would write poetry and, in a sense, prose by writing people really long letters. And one could literally say I was writing people books. I thought I was doing a kind thing by writing somebody, and I was asked to write somebody who was in jail, who I barely knew, but was a big businessman and had helped support one of my CDs. And so somebody said, you should write him. And at one point, he wrote me back saying, I love receiving letters from you. Please don't make them so long. And I thought, how busy could you be?
I tend to agree.
I think maybe what I was saying was not necessarily in alignment with what he was thinking and or didn't want to change, and maybe that was the time that I needed to learn that not everybody wants to be the better version of themselves, at least maybe not just yet.
I could appreciate that. I have a tendency to be long-winded in letters as well.
Kindred spirits.
My brain gets started and it just won't stop.
Yes, well, I have learned that sometimes what I want to tell other people is what I want to hear for myself. So I've learned to reserve my judgment or my lesson to learn, instead of it being for somebody else, is to think about telling myself that, because maybe it's more for me than for them.
I think you might be on to something there. I've got a grandson that just entered the Air Force, and he's going through that 6-week hazing process and, you know, becoming respected on his own. And of course, his grandma had to send him a letter, and it was a very long letter, but I had to type it. I can't write 8 pages. No way. Well, I could appreciate your love for the written word, though. Tell our listeners who and what is a cicina?
Chichina. Chichina is the name I gave to a little dog that I quote-unquote rescued, who in turn ended up rescuing me. And Chichina has a bit of significance that I talk about in the Little Dog That Could book, but at least the name has a little bit of significance. The actual dog has a lot of significance in my life and continues to be a gift that keeps on giving, including today's interview with you.
Well, that's good news. Does Chichina have a specific meaning?
Well, it stands for a diminutive of Josephine. So, Francesca, rather, in Italian.
All right. All right. I can appreciate that. People used to call me Pachichi.
Oh.
When I was.
And
does
that have
younger,
a meaning?
Yes. I was a lot younger and a lot thinner.
Okay.
When did you realize there was something different about this particular dog versus any other?
That's a really great question, Katie, because I do see dogs, even though they're not necessarily strays, but I didn't know that this one was a stray that particular night when I saw her looking like she was going to step into a four-lane street, busy street at that. But for some reason, when I saw her, I immediately said, oh, don't do that, in my mind. Come to me. And right away I argued with myself, saying, that's a silly thought. I can't have a dog. My life is busy. I can't have a dog where I live, actually. And I travel too much, blah, blah, blah. And the answer came, well, bring her to somebody. And a particular name came up. And then I argued again, saying, that's silly. That person doesn't want a dog at this point, and this dog certainly has somebody who loves her. So I had this complete conversation while I was pulling over the car and getting out of the car and just like on a track of getting her and saving her. And therein started a journey.
So you feel like there might have been a touch of divine intervention here.
Oh, more than a touch. I think it was a divine int. It was more like a swinging bat hitting me on the head.
I've had that bat hit me. I understand.
So we understand each other.
Oh, absolutely. So what was the catalyst, do you think, that let you know that you just had to write this particular story?
Well, a couple of things. I was asked to share the story on many occasions, but on maybe a handful of occasions, I actually did share. And the story is powerful to me and to many now that they've read the book, and meaningful and deep and something like earlier when you called me a Renaissance man and I said, I hope I could fit into that title someday. I hope I could fit into and become more like the guy that I was during that short period of time in the book. So when I would share about the things that happened in the book, some of which are funny and fascinating and some of which are horrific and also miraculous, I would come to tears. I would get choked up, and I didn't really want to finish the story. A, it was hard, and B, I hadn't owned all of what happened, and so I didn't want to tell the story anymore. And so somebody suggested, it was actually Dorothy Donahue, who is very significant in the book and in the story. She suggested to write a book. Now, I thought I could just write the book. I could just write the book and be done with it. And I did. And I left it alone in my computer for 9 years. And
nine
over the years? 9 years. Yep. And over the years, people kept saying, I thought you wrote a book. Where is it? And why don't you release that book? And every once in a while, I would let somebody read it, and they'd say, oh, my God, people need to hear this story. And I had a hard time, again, accepting what happened, accepting who I was in that story, the good and the bad, which was not so bad, at least on my part. But what happened to the dog at one point was bad. But I will say this. The story has an amazingly miraculous happy ending.
Well, that's good to know. Can you give us a little synopsis for our listeners as to the beginning, the middle, and the end? Just enough of a teaser.
Well, when I rescued the dog, quote-unquote, I called Dorothy Donahue, who I mentioned before, who's a spiritual leader and healer, and I had just met her recently, and she had said something like, things are going to start happening to you, or you're going to start experiencing things because you're ready, and all of that good stuff. And so this dog came into my life, and I shared with her, and she said, oh, wow, okay, I knew something would happen. I didn't know it would be this, but this sounds right. And so she's your dog. This is it. And I said, oh, no, she's not my dog, and here are the reasons. And so I'm very much looking for a home for her. And she said, you won't find a home for her until you learn the lesson. And so eventually I took those words seriously, because one day led to a week led to weeks, and weeks led to months. And I thought, okay, obviously I didn't find the old owner, and I haven't found her a new owner. So what do I do now? How about taking Dorothy's words and learning a lesson already? So I started learning a lesson, and almost every day it seemed that I would tune into what the dog wanted, what the dog was doing, and how the dog was connecting with her senses, which, of course, most of them are more acute than ours as humans. However, we can use our senses more than we do. And I started to, and I felt like I was experiencing the world, a different world than I was living in before, which interestingly enough connected me to my childhood, when I used to experience the world through my senses more than I am conscious of now. So that's
wouldn't
the
it be
first
nice
half
if we could all go
back
journey. To that point in our life?
Well, I don't know that I want to be a child again, at least not the childhood that I had per se, but yes, bringing back some of those things that we forgot that were important then and can be even more important now, I could agree more.
It's the sense of wonder that I hope I've never lost.
There it is. There it is. And that's in this book. At one point, I remember calling Dorothy and saying, I learned this, and she says, that's nice. And I said, and I think I have three different families that want her, the dog, so I think this is it. And she said, no, don't think so. It's not the lesson. And so sure enough, one by one, those three families fell out. And I thought, this is crazy. Until one day, something horrible happened. And I called Dorothy the next day in tears and said, this is what happened. And she said, ah, here's your lesson. This is it. And I remember her words were that you won't find her a happy home until you learn your lesson. And so I thought, wow, then that must be true, that there is a happy home in the future. And there's something I must do here. And so believing and knowing and sensing and all of those wonderful things that had to happen for me to get my lesson and for miracles to happen and a happy ending to ensue is what the little dog
well,
kid
I've
is about.
I've always said that dogs are God's way of showing man what unconditional love really means. And if you don't think so, pay attention to your dog.
Pay attention, right. Right. As a matter of fact, I was asked yesterday in a radio interview if I thought dog owners were special people, and if I had a particular feeling like they had a certain sensibility or something. And I said, not necessarily. A lot of people have a certain relationship with their dog, which only goes so far. And this book helps encourage a conversation far beyond the normal way we treat our animals and think of them.
I tend to agree. I think that there are people, there are pet owners out there that I mentioned this in another interview where I felt like they had pets as an accessory instead
right.
of a family member.
Mm,
an accessory is disposable. Family members are not.
There it is.
There it is. I just feel like we need to have a more special bond. I think there are people out there who are missing the C chromosome, and that C chromosome is compassion.
Mm.
If you don't have compassion, it's hard to be a good pet parent.
Interesting, Katie. I've been asked by one or two readers and new fans who like the book and who like the possibilities there within for their own life. And I've been asked in different ways, but one came out and said, can this work on people? And I could only hope so, in the sense that, like what you're talking about, compassion. Sometimes it's easier to have compassion with a pet who doesn't necessarily respond verbally or to some of our inappropriate actions or inappropriate behavior whatever it is, some showing us unconditional love, most of them, except for the cat who will pee on something on purpose because she's just trying to let us know, I see you, it's not cool.
Well, it's because most pets are non-judgmental. Humans, unfortunately, are judgmental. We jump to conclusions. We draw conclusions on limited information. An animal only draws a conclusion on what it sees right there in front of it. You treat me bad, I'm going to have a conclusion. If you treat me good, I'm going to have a conclusion. But if you dress in purple, I really don't care.
Right. Nice.
Well, where can people get a copy of your book?
Well, thelittledogthatcould.com is a website that we've created for the Little Dog That Could book. And there are links to both Amazon, where the book is available on Kindle download, which can be used on both PCs and Macs. And then also there on Amazon or on another link for Barnes & Noble, the book can be purchased as a soft cover. And it's also available in a couple bookstores, and other bookstores could order it if people ask for it as well. So it's exciting as this conversation is growing, and we're getting a lot of great feedback from people who experience things that are, let's say, not in the book per se, but how they experience the book and the journey and their own animals. It expands the conversation. I love that.
Are there going to be more books about dogs in your future?
You know, I would certainly love it. There could be a workbook, actually. I've been told that I could make and should, in some people's opinion, make a workbook that goes along with The Little Dog That Could, or rather, lessons I learned from The Little Dog That Could. And so, potentially, I certainly welcome that if that's meant to be. But there are also so many books based on so many other experiences and different angles for people to understand or grow or expand. And so I'm open to many.
Have you done any work with any of the shelters, fosters, or rescues to help promote your book?
I have not, actually. As you probably know, I'm busy with my own show, The Life Changes Show, and I also sing, et cetera. So when the book came out, when I decided to let the book come out 9 years later, it was almost as a surprise and a shocker to me, because I still didn't think I was ready. But the people around me that I trusted said, Filippo, you have to. So the book came out in a hurry at that point, and we didn't have time to connect with very many. But if you know of some that we should connect with, I'd be more than happy to work with them.
Well, you certainly have my email through our conversations, and I definitely want to keep in touch with you. Where are your book signings? Where are you going to be in the future?
Well, so far, all of them have been local to Los Angeles and the Southern California area. However, between book signings that are currently in discussion to The Life Changes Show going live in certain areas of the country, and my singing, I'm all over. And so if people go to The Little Dog That Could and click on The Life Changes Show, or vice versa, there will be information there as to where I will be in person. And that's always a treat for me to meet people who have experienced either the book or me as a singer. There's always a story. So, and that's one of the exciting things about what I do, is that it seems to touch people in so many different ways. And if I got 30 more seconds, it reminds me of a Little Dog That Could book. Katie, is that right?
Go right ahead. You've got 30 seconds.
Well, I was heading into Connecticut to sing at an event, the Sergio Franchi event, with full orchestra, and it's all about singing, and I think I was doing an Italian song or two, but that's what that was about. And some woman came up to me and hugged me and said, "Oh my God, I love you and I hate you." I said, "Okay." And she said, "I love you so much that I bought your book not knowing what it was going to be about, but I'm a dog lover and I've seen you as a singer, so you always make me happy and I smile and, you know, warms my heart. But your book, it made me so sad halfway through that I stopped reading it." And I said, "Oh, I wish you had continued, because I think that happy, warm feeling would have come back." And she said, "Well, I left it alone for a couple months, and then I knew you were coming into town, and I said, I want to see him, and I want to tell him that I liked his book, but I have to get through that part." And then she says, "That's the part where I hated you, but as soon as I got through it, oh my God, I love you." Okay, so here we are.
I think that's
because
a wonderful
of my singing.
Well, it just goes to show, you never know what's going to happen or what's going to touch somebody's life, right?
Exactly.
Well, we are almost out of time, but I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. And I sincerely hope that when you have your follow-up to The Little Dog That Could, that you'll come back as a guest on our show and tell us about that.
Well, thank you, Katie. Thank you for having me. This has been a pleasure.
Thanks again. And if you have any questions, comments, or would like to know more about a guest on our show, please contact me at pet.lady.katie@gmail.com. Folks, please don't forget to spay and neuter, and remember to adopt, don't shop. We'd like to invite you back next time when we find out about an award-winning short film from the trainer of Buck the Dog from Married with Children, starring Ed O'Neill, and more on what's new in the pet world. As always, I hate to say goodbye, but it's time to let the dogs out.